Welcome to Wine by the Case,
where we uncork legal insights one bottle at a time.
So today we are going to be drinking wine, only one bottle, and we are going to talk about this very interesting, kind of crazy situation going on at the Louvre.
At the Louvre. And I mean, all I can think of is Nat King Cole with his Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you.
So, oh, I mean, you're very brave to be singing.
Because I can't sing worth shit, but that's okay. I mean, when you think better of the Louvre, you think of the Mona Lisa.
So I'm gonna get up and show this closer to the camera because this bottle—it's
beautiful.
Plus, my dress is dressing. is beautiful, so everybody can see it. It's absolutely stunning bottle that we might have to keep just in podcast studio.
I mean, how could we not enjoy a Mona Lisa wine? We're going to talk about an extremely daring Ocean's 11 style.
It really is Ocean. It really is Ocean's 11. It really, truly was.
So I'm gonna pour, but tell us what you know, Alexis.
I mean, this was crazy. It was all over social media, right? And it just is kind of daring. You know, I've been to the Louvre, and it's beautiful, mm-hmm. and you get to see Mona Lisa, which is the star. She is the star of the Louvre.
Definitely the star.
But there is other amazing things, including jewels, which both of you and I love
like our
jewels.
Like our diamonds.
Yes.
So apparently thousands of diamonds were stolen in this heist on the jewels that were stolen. So what is crazy is that this happened in daylight. You know, a meme that's going around says, well, at least the French have the sensibility to not have to do it at midnight. They do it at 9:30, which is a reasonable hour to be up and committing a heist.
Wait, in all fairness, they're known for staying up late. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's very French.
No, maybe that's why they did it early, because they knew everybody had been up the night before drinking wine.
Well, but when I think about going to a big city, you cannot go to a big city and not see cranes and buildings and ladders and construction. So if I'm walking down a street in Paris and I see a truck that's got a ladder going up to the second floor, that's not getting my attention. Would you necessarily think it was weird?
I'm so oblivious 9 times out of 10 that I probably wouldn't have even, it wouldn't even register.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So you're going about your day. You've got your croissant, you've got your coffee, and you see this, you know, basically like it was a pickup truck with this ladder coming out of it. But why wouldn't that be normal in a city that's constantly building? So the thieves pulled up, backed it up, put the ladder up, climbed up the ladder, and broke into the Louvre using glass cutting, chainsaw.
So here's my thing. The truck, you are correct, but I would think the windows would have some sort
alarm?
Of alarm sensor, something around the windows because it's not just what they took with everything else. I mean, you would think that would be like Fort Knox when it came to security. Now, I've been there and you and I talked about this. Like when you're touring it, especially the rooms where they have things like the Mona Lisa and other things, they will have security. I think there's security in every room. And then if it's a room with something that is high, you know, a lot of people are going to see, they may have more than one security.
They do.
So it's kind of surprising because it wasn't that they cut this and then went and took this out of storage.
No, they cut it off of the floor where the tourists were. Yeah. Now, what I think is really, again, very French about that is when it started happening. Because at first you're just watching people moving around, you're watching people looking at jewelry close. No one's going to, not even security guard's going to see anything about that. But when you take the glass saw out and start doing some work, what they did was to make sure that everybody was safe. They did human safety before.
Wait, were they threatening people?
They said they weren't necessarily threatening people, but the fact that they had weapons, as far as the saws, gave them concern.
Was that the only weapon they saw was a saw? The saw is a weapon.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Away, yeah, but they didn't see, they didn't say about any guns. They just said the first thing they did was keep the people safe, and they didn't want to cause a panic. So they were pretty much quickly moving people out without trying to bring their attention to the fact that someone's trying to steal some crown jewels behind us.
Okay, so I'm sure somebody is, I mean, maybe that's their protocol.
That is the Louvre's protocol. Okay. Absolutely.
But I, you would think that they would have Team B that would be Team A is protecting people, and Team B that they would call in on the walkies.
Right, can come in with the guns.
Not with the gun, but whatever, tasers or something.
Something. I mean, from what we understand, because we're talking about things that are irreplaceable. We're talking about the tiara, the crown that Napoleon's wife wore. We're talking about different things that
pretty on my head.
Well, interestingly about that one, they dropped it as they were running away on the scooters. It's damaged, but they got it back because they dropped it.
What else was in there? And you guys see me moving around because we realize that our audio isn't so good. So I'm trying to make sure you get the audio.
It was a lot of tiaras, which again have thousands and thousands of diamonds.
I wonder why they were going after the tiaras.
I think there's a reason, because this is unsellable jewelry. Let's face it. If you're trying to sell the Empress's crown, tiara, jewels, no one's buying that. Or if they are, they're going to keep it for 100 years in storage underground. You cannot fence this kind of stuff.
I disagree with you. I do. Yes, you can't go into a pawn shop and fence it.
Right.
But I don't believe that it's unsellable, because I think that the point of the matter is a lot of people like tiaras.
We had
a girlfriend, remember?
Yes.
Our one girlfriend who had a whole goddess cottage with tiaras, none of which she stole from the Louvre. But she had tiaras. So I do think that they are, but you're right. You're going to buy it. It's going to stay in your house somewhere because you definitely
you cannot
are not
show
going
it.
To Mm-mm. be able to show that.
But what you can do is take thousands of diamonds out of those tiaras and sell them.
See, I don't think that they would do it with, and we can get to that in a minute, but I don't think they're going to do that with, like, if they had Napoleons.
Right.
Because Napoleons, right.
But if it's a 19th, you know, century.
If it doesn't have
lower, lesser member of the royal family, it's like, here's $800 million. You know?
And that is a good point, because you could easily, like you said, pop those out and move those or reset them, and nobody would
Now, the big pieces in them, not so much. That's more the underground.
Okay. But or no, thousands. Not necessarily. If you wanted to cut them into smaller pieces.
True.
That's the thing with.
Because some of them had the major stones in the middle that are just gorgeous and, again, not replaceable. They just can't replace those. So I doubt anybody really wants to take that apart. But the fact that it was about 8 pieces, very targeted on this level of royal jewelry, this had to have been an inside job. This is Ocean's 11 style, that these people who left on scooters and dropped the crown, somebody paid them to do this. They didn't just come up with this on their own.
Was this a traveling exhibit, or was this stuff that was owned by the actual Louvre?
See, I thought it was stuff owned by the Louvre, but I haven't been able to necessarily find exact details on that, because it was in an exhibit area related to crown jewels. So they may have had some exhibit pieces in
there.
So
some people that are not, may not be familiar, a lot of times stuff will be on loan so that the world in different areas can see these magical pieces.
Yeah.
And they'll be on loan. So they may not have been part of Louvre. And also, when it comes to some of that, the tracking of the ownership, even though whoever owns it, you know, usually they've tracked it, but there's usually, when you're talking about older pieces, a dispute that goes around whether that is, because we didn't have records like we did, you know, now, who actually really owned it or believes they should have owned it. So I'm wondering if it's related to something like that, or if it's just they want to, commissioned them.
I think somebody commissioned them, because except for the Napoleon piece, they're not anything that most people would recognize the names.
How mad do you think they were when they got back? And they're like,
we dropped that one.
It was the headliner of the lot.
Right, but that would be the one, too, that somebody who wants to pay you to do this would want to have underground for the next 100 years.
But I was saying that may have been the one that they were supposed to be going to get, and the other stuff just happened to be there.
Because, again, you can pop the stuff out. I mean, think about it right now with gold being stupid high. People are actually doing that. They're popping the stones out of their gold, bringing the gold in and making, you know, a new piece out of the stones, just making a medallion. So,
you know, I don't know if this happens now, but I remember like in the 80s and 90s, you would hear all the time about people being stopped going through the airport because mm-hmm. they were trying to move money, cash, and mm-hmm. they would have money belts. Yep. And you're only, I believe it's 10,000. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still 10,000. You're allowed to bring without mm-hmm. declaring it. And, you know, you would hear about people would take everybody and their mother that they knew, every friend, right. to go party, right. whatever country, and they're bringing back money. And I always thought, even then, that it was so silly because I was just like, look, you could put millions on a belt that looks like,
rhinestones.
You know, rhinestones, and you're carrying a, you know, multi-million-dollar belt on you that's nobody's going to blink an eye to move diamonds and even gold, because remember, you're saying gold's gone up. You can melt gold down and put it into anything you want.
But with these pieces, because they are exquisitely crafted, and because they do have some signature stones in them, I just got to believe that Danny Ocean...
I want to hope they didn't. I actually don't. I want to hope that they wanted it for the beauty and magic of the piece, and that they didn't want it to melt it down. But you're bringing up a point that I didn't even think of, that the less known pieces
are still
going to
have
there is a high probability that they would be opposed to Napoleon's.
Well, and again, that's when people cut them. I mean, that's when it was an art form and all of that. So they're going to have value. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take before all the circuit TV, all the cameras for traffic, anybody who necessarily would have taken pictures that day of them standing in front of the Louvre, where are we going to get the pieces so that, you know, MI6 and all those people over there can find these people?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I think when you have something that's well mastered and planned out, opposed to somebody just doing a smash and grab, they know where the cameras are. They've plotted that, like Ocean's 11.
They left on scooters. I mean, they knew enough that you're not going to be able to have a getaway car. They knew they're not going to run. So having the scooters, then they blend in with the other people on scooters. Right. I mean, you can't go to an urban area without seeing hundreds of scooters. So throw off the jacket, throw off the hat. And you're everybody else.
But I also think the other thing that you're bringing up, the stuff was not being stolen to flash. So it was to be in somebody's private collection. And it's not going to be a situation likely that you see them out at a charity event with that on.
Exactly.
And that they want it, which also brings up another thing that you go through. What is the mental, and neither one of us are psychologists, that you want to go through this, spend the amount of money to have this go down, for you to basically have something in your collection really can't let anybody see.
It's James Bond villain's lair. I know, they open it's up so the room
great.
And
it's
all of that.
It's so great.
But it's just me.
It's so great.
9:30 in the morning with the general public there. This was daring.
Brazen.
It was thought out. And they had people who were, shall we say, fast enough at being able to cut, run, and jump on those scooters. That people hadn't yet figured out.
But they also
getaway
knew
plan
the
was.
Protocols of the Louvre. They also knew how to go in.
They knew
this
how
was
to get
not
to those
an
scooters.
Overnight.
Nope.
But
I believe this was
an insight.
Let's
talk about the wine.
Yes. So even though, again, we're talking about the Louvre, we have the Mona Lisa as our inspiration. And, of course, we're dealing with Italy with the Mona Lisa and Da Vinci. So this is a Montepulciano, which is always a fabulous Italian wine. And I just think that when you're talking about Italian wine, they've just got their own distinct aroma. They've got their nice brightness to it, but without that cherry thing that we get in the U.S., more just a deep, rich taste. So let's find out.
I think it's really good. It's smooth. It doesn't have any sharpness at the back end. Mm. It has not too bad legs. And the bottle is just
that is
exquisite.
A delicious Montepulciano. This is a exquisite. It's just like, yes, you can picture having the pasta in front of you right now.
I was thinking steak. Yeah, I was thinking steak. But what is, how much is this bottle?
So this one was actually in the high 30s, which is not bad because it's beyond the bottle. It's very pretty. I had to have the bottle. But it's really from a good region. It's very indicative of where good Montepulciano comes from. And I had to give it a try. So I'm definitely giving this one a solid 8.5.
So I definitely think you should keep this bottle. I think it would be, you're not going to keep it, then we should have it in the podcast room. But as well as, I also think this would be a great gift, because to have this out, it would be the centerpiece of a gift basket now that the holidays are.
And especially if you mix it with, you know, a nice, beautiful pasta sauce. I mean, you think of Carbone, and they have their own sauces and some good Parmesan, Reggiano, all of that. But this is
she cooks. I do not.
No, my husband cooks.
But I was just thinking I was going to throw it in a basket with some tissue paper and I don't know, two cute little wine glasses with it, and I'd be like one and done.
But no, so this is delightful. And
did you get this at a wine store? Is that at like a specialty wine store? Because I don't think I've seen this.
Nope, I definitely got that one at one of my specialty wines to travel. I think I got it when I was in
Greenville. I am going to give this actually a 9.
You're close.
I generally, my favorite wines are French, but this one, my second is Italian.
This is like
this. I actually would buy, and I definitely am going to run out and get one. For some gifts. I think this might, everybody that knows me may be getting a bottle of this. And
it's reminiscent of a Super Tuscan, but it's still got the depth of a Montepulciano.
I agree. So I would like everybody to comment below and tell me, and I kind of do this when I am doing my media appearances. A lot of times they'll ask me for predictions, like how long is somebody going to be sentenced? Are they going to be convicted? So I would like people to comment and tell us whether you think they're going to end up catching these Ocean 11 capering people, or if they're actually going to get away with this and we are not going to know who these jewels ended up. If you have the opportunity, should definitely go. It should definitely be on a bucket list. So, like
it's
I said,
it's just not on a day where there's a jewel heist.
Well, no, that would make for a good story, honestly. Nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt.
So, that would make for a good story.
Goal.
So, comment below. Tell us what you think. Tell us what wines you want us to try. Tell us what topics you would like us to talk about. And cheers.
Cheers.